Father God, I just want to thank you for Gary. I want to thank you for the blessing that he is to this church family. Kind of like I don't know how to word this without calling you old, but kind of like the spiritual power of the church. And I just want to, I just want to thank you, Lord, for Gary and just the wisdom that he imparts on our church and the way that he shares your word so authentically and in such a clear way. And I just come, Father God, and we offer up our hearts to you to receive your word through Gary today. And we thank you in advance and, prepare the soil of our hearts to receive your word. Amen.
Thanks, Jess. Kind of a bit ironic. I want to talk a little bit about anxiety. Now you've upped my stress level now by all these expectations. But it is a privilege indeed to get to share God's word and to share your insight and any sort of wisdom that I might have, which comes from God, because I wasn't always this old, for a start. And my level of stupid years ago was pretty high, you know. So God's doing a good work in me, and I'm grateful to him, and he gets all the glory for that. Not because I've just gotten older, because, that happens anyway. Stuff happens. Okay, listen, there's a sheet on your seat. You might be sitting on it. It doesn't matter. Just pull it out. It's the one that's got the scripture on it. There's some verses there, and we're just going to have a look at that. Then we'll throw some thoughts in, and hopefully God will remind us again of how central his plan is to our lives, no matter where we're at, how old we are or how young we are, or how many bad decisions or good decisions we made, and choices that can stuff things up or choices that can make life better. He is there. So anyway, let me give some background to this particular letter. This is from Philippians. Paul wrote this to the believers in a place called Philippi. Now, we've been to Philippi in 2011 and seen this place, supposedly where Paul and Silas were imprisoned for their faith. Paul had been in prison a few times, a couple of times probably in Rome and once in Philippi. But there's a whole bunch of things that had happened to Paul that could have caused him anxiety. It could have caused him worry. And like when he wrote to the Christians in Corinth, he says this: 3 times I was beaten with rods by the Romans. And what have the Romans ever done for us? Wrong audience. Once I was stoned by my enemies. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the open sea. Gee, you'd have to wonder whether God had forgotten you or he was paying you back for all the Christians you had been killing and persecuting, as Paul did before he met Jesus. He was an out-and-out hater of Christians, and he spent a lot of energy and a lot of time killing and persecuting Christians until God knocked him off his horse, quite literally, and spoke to him. So anyway, look, let's have a look at this scripture together that Paul wrote. He says, "So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favour of God, both in my imprisonment," so he's in prison when he's writing this, "and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more." We can do with more of that, couldn't we, eh? "And that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters," is the first part that I've underlined there, "so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation." When you get saved, when you start living for Jesus, stuff happens, good stuff. We call it fruit. Things start changing for the better. You start noticing a change of attitude. Sometimes it's not always as obvious to yourself, I remember the band master of the band I used to play in Brisbane. This is back in 1970-something, 72 or 3. And I had finally decided to get serious about Jesus, even though I'd grown up in the Salvation Army, been in the band, and had the uniform on, the whole box and dice, the whole show. And it was a show. And the bandmaster says to me, "We've noticed a change in your attitude. The fruit of salvation." I didn't feel it, but certainly he was observing it. Anyway, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. That's what it was and that's what it is. "For this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news." He's writing this in prison and he's saying, well, it's all for, you know, the good of the spreading of the good news. "For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear." So he's definitely looking on the rosy side, the bright side of life, as it were. Another Python quote. Can I get away with this again? But it's plain that Paul, even in prison, is positive. After having been through all that stuff that he thought, what have I, as we used to say, have I killed a Chinaman or something? So, you know, so many bad things happening in his life, and he's still just oozing with positivity. Anyway, we'll come back to that thought, but here, let's do some trivia. You up for some trivia? You'd expect it, wouldn't you? Okay, songs beginning with "Let There Be." "Let There Be Life." "Let There Be Light." "Let There Be Praise." Sandy Patty, who had twin brothers called Beef and Chicken. Dad Jokes 101. Okay, come on, yell them out. "Let There Be." Love. "Let There Be" what? Love, yeah. Who sang "Let There Be Love"? Vince Gill and also Harry Connick Jr. sang that one. Not together, but both. "Let There Be Music." "Let There Be Music." Who sang that, Willie? I've never heard of him. Where'd he come from? What about let There Be... Oh, I thought we'd never get there. "Let There Be Rock." Akadaka's early hit, right? "Let There Be..." What? I got a list here, so I could probably cheat. Oh, Sandy Nelson. It was an instrumental number called "Let There Be Drums." "How old are you?" Silence. You're so hurtful. Now, Sandy Nelson had this song called "Let There Be Drums." It was about 64 or something, 63. Now, Vince Gill and Harry Connick Jr., I got it wrong, sang "Let There Be Peace on Earth." Right. Oasis sang "Let There Be Love." Duh. Anyway, this term, "Let There Be," I mean, the first recorded example, of course, of "Let There Be" is in the first chapter of Genesis, where the Jewish scriptures tell us that Yahweh, the creator of this whole cosmos, said it 10 times. According to the Jewish scriptures, the first recorded statements attributed to Yahweh all begin with the words, "Let there be." Can we put that first slide up? Anyone got this T-shirt? Have you seen it? All right. See what it says there? This is a Maxwell's equation. It's the mathematical explanation of free space electromagnetic radiation, also known as light. You got it. Clever, eh? But of course, apart from having a silver hammer, Maxwell was a very smart mathematician. No Beatles fans in the room. So this is man's explanation of what constitutes light. "Let there be light." Hebrews 11 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." So speaking something into existence still happens all the time. Like parents say, let there be peace and quiet, right? Got any others as a parent that you've said to your kids, I want some of what? Peace and quiet is the obvious one. Any others? Oh, no parents here. Short memory, you've blanked it out, haven't you? Let there be some obedience. How about that one? Let there be some shoes on your feet right now. Or if we're going to church, take those shoes off. Let there be clean rooms. Yeah, trying to speak that into existence. Good luck with that one, eh? Oh, let there be veggies eaten. My goodness. Nah, mix it in with the mince. Tip. Here's your number one tip. Mix it all up in the mince, okay? And then, of course, children try to do this let there be thing to get what they want. Let there be more chocolate. Let there be more freedom. I'm so oppressed. Man, I'm 5 years old and I can't go anywhere. Let there be no need to go to bed early. All right? This idea of speaking the truth, we read in Scripture, though, not just random stuff, and seeing it begin to happen is within our God-given capacity to make this world a better place. Romans 10:10 says this about this idea of speaking what we believe. It says, the message of salvation is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. That's the faith side of it. And it is by openly speaking your faith that you are saved. No such thing as a silent Christian. I mean, if someone can't speak, they're dumb, they can still communicate using sign language. But to speak out, to share what you believe in your heart, brings it to reality. Believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. The power of life and death is in the tongue, right? It can be used for positive or negative. So how can we speak in such a way that our words can be creating a better world and a more positive personal outlook? We might try saying to ourselves, let there be no anxiety. Now, that's easier said than done. Me personally, I mean, I'm learning over and over again that there's a big picture. Nate, would you mind raising this up? I just seem to be looking down too much. Thanks, mate. You raise me up so I can see my iPad. All right, me personally, thank you, Nate. I'm learning over and over again that there's a big picture beyond my circumstances. That's how I ground myself. I'm still learning that one. And that God's got my future sorted. That can make a huge difference to how I handle adversity and challenge. I can still get anxious about stuff sometimes, like when I'm preparing sermons. Will it connect? Will it be faithful to Scripture? Is it worth anything to help listeners in the room in our life journey? I get stressed figuring out why the fuel tank in my old Beetle is still leaking. I've had the tank out twice. My dear old favourite mechanic, Dad, is in heaven, so he can't help anymore. So I'm on my own in figuring out how to keep a 64-year-old car roadworthy. So if you've got any ideas about fixing your fuel leak on the reserve tap under a fuel. Anyway, if you know Beatles, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe some people here in this room are anxious about how LJ Longjetti will look under the new pastoral leadership. Either God's got this or we're just a club with two new chairpersons moving in. How will we adapt to having Andrew and Melissa? Not as pastors, but as church members. We simply got to know that God's got this and we need not be anxious. What did Bob Marley say? Don't worry anymore. Let's have a look at the next slide. Thanks, folks. What do you think of that? Total waste of time. It doesn't change anything. All it does is steal your joy and keep you very busy doing nothing. The lovely Judith, my lovely assistant, shared some verses before. She quoted the scripture which said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? I was watching a documentary on SBS recently with Celia Pakwala. And she's sometimes on Have You Been Paying Attention, right? Celia, comedian. The documentary was called The Truth About Anxiety. And in that documentary, she said, one in four Australians will suffer from an anxiety condition at some stage in their life. So purely on the law of averages, that means there could be, 15 to 20 people in this room who are wrestling or who may one day wrestle with anxiety and depression. It might be about your looks, your mortality, your weight, your relationship, your kids, all sorts of things. Hayley, big shout out to you for maintaining positivity in your journey with continual long-term health complications. You always come up smiling. And you got some crap to deal with, haven't you? Good on you. Great example of what difference Jesus can make in a person's life in dealing with rubbish. Brené Brown said, living with fear or anxiety about what might happen means you sacrifice joy, but you suffer less pain. Got to think about that one. Personally, for me, my character will always need more refinement, and that takes challenge, not comfort. So if anything's coming out of this scripture so far that we just read, the challenges are good for us because it gives opportunities for God's kingdom and God's purposes to unfold and to be shared with the rest of the planet. So I could be really comfortable and not ever get stressed, but would it grow me? No, it wouldn't. Would I develop a tenacity of spirit? Would I develop more character? Probably not. It's those tough times that brings about a positive development of our spirit as we follow Jesus. The truth is, friends, the same time we dedicate to worrying and ruminating on our fears, that's long-term worrying, overthinking it, is the same amount of time we could dedicate to working on our relationship with God instead. If you love someone, you want to spend time with them, right? More and more time. You want to get to know them better. And you can't do that from a distance. It's all about what you choose to give your energy and your spirit over to in those particular moments. The difference is that one will keep you bound and the other will set you free. So this is my challenge. When I'm thinking about stressful stuff, I only see the negatives, not the huge number of blessings that God continues to pour into my life. Can you identify with that? It's easy for the wrong stuff to dominate your energy when all you've got to do is look around and see what a blessing it is to be following Jesus and to be working out your stuff with his help, or more correctly, allowing him to live his life in you. Because if you're asking for help, it's basically saying, oh, I can do a bit of this, but I'll need some help. What we need to say perhaps in prayer is not help me, but please do it. And that's not a demand. It's just, Lord, live your life in me because I'm crap at it. I'm not good at doing anything well, but you are perfect. So live it in me. Do it. Keep doing it. Keep flowing, keep moving in my life, renewing my mind. So here's a prayer for us. Lord, I know I'm not perfect, but I trust that in spite of myself, you are still faithful to see me through the trials of this life. Because of this, I will continue to have hope that it will work out for your glory and my growth as your child. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything, says the scripture. Instead, pray, tell God what you need, thank him for all he has done. So don't worry, pray, tell, and then give thanks. That's the key. Okay, let's change direction a little. Have you ever been at a loss for words and you only come out with one word or maybe two? Now, some we don't need to repeat, right? It might be just sheesh, you know, wow, or duh. Anything else? What's something else within reason? When you don't know what to say. What? You get the big what? Or what the? There's all sorts of things we can say. But, you know, right in the beginning, as we read in John's Gospel, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Now, this is a reference in John's Gospel to Jesus, the Christ, eternal, from the beginning, has been God's one word to us. In other words, in the person of Jesus, our Creator is saying, let there be forgiveness, let there be reconciliation, let there be hope, let there be faithfulness, let there be honesty, let there be integrity, let there be truth, and let there be no anxiety. So if there's anything you want to know about God, you want a message from God, it's all wrapped up in this one person of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. He is God's ultimate statement to us, wrapped up in a human being born first, conceived as a fetus, and then born as a little vulnerable baby, growing into a toddler, falling over, skinning his knees, running around, probably hurting himself, having a bit of a whinge to mum, because he was human, right? And growing up into a young man and at 33 years of age, knowing full well why he was here on this earth. First, two reasons. One was to show us what it's like to live a decent life, a perfect life. And then two, to pay the price in full so that we could take advantage or receive similarly a good life, a brand new life of righteousness that is perfect, and it is not substandard, it's not beginner righteousness. The scriptures say that the righteousness of God is ours through faith in Christ. That's 100% righteousness. So whatever we need to see us through tough times and things that cause myself or anyone else in this room anxiety and worry, the answer is to look to Jesus and to allow him to live his life in us as Lord, as Saviour, as the King of all that we are. We're going to sing in just a sec, Nate. So Paul, in prison, is saying, I want you to understand what really matters. Friends, the world isn't made up of just matter. It's made up of what really matters. The things that matter most is what life is about. And this is what Paul is saying. He said, I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives. And then he said, as we've just been thinking of, everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. Because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. They were able to say, as we'll sing in just a second, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. There is nothing in this world that can take what God has given me away from me. And no matter what dumb decisions and choices I have made over the years, and now I wear consequence, God is in the repairing business. He's in the reconciliation business. He's in the business of giving hope and a new direction, whether you're old or young. Whether you think you're so far off the path that it's impossible to find it again, God cares. So let's sing together. And as we do, just want you to wrestle with this. What causes me anxiety? And why does it? God's got this. if it helps, to come forward and pray or ask someone to pray with you, please do that. Just feel free as God leads you, because we can do this. Or rather, God can do this. Okay? Amen.